From Capybara Media, this is You're Gonna Be Great, the self-care podcast that supports you through life's ups and downs with real mental health and wellness conversations delivered via pop culture. Here's your host, M. Elizabeth Evans.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of You're Gonna Be Great. Today, I'm here to talk about sexual attraction. And it's gonna be super fun because we're gonna chat about why all of us are so into a specific type of male character that we see in fantasy romance novels, shows, in the world. This topic came to be because I spent the past year reading mostly fantasy romance. I started with the ACOTAR series, and for those of you who don't know, ACOTAR is A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's a young adult fantasy novel series by Sarah J. Maas. And it's basically a story about a mortal young woman named Ferret Archeron and kind of what happens to her after she is taken to the fairyland of Prithian after she murdered a fae. And, you know, it's like an epic love story. There's struggles and battles and it's an amazing series. And I got pulled in pretty quickly. So it started with that. And then I went on to read Crescent City and Throne of Glass, The Cruel Prince, you know, just kind of a deep dive into all of these fantasy romance novels. And I found myself just fiercely attracted to the male characters in them. You know, Rhysand, Asriel, like, come on, Shadow Daddy, anybody? Are you kidding me? Like, could he be any hotter? Just all of them are just so appealing. And as I was reading all of these books, you know, I also read From Blood and Ash and, you know, Castile, same thing, just like so attractive. You know, I was reading it with one of my friends at the time and she was like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I cannot stop touching myself and thinking about Castile in the shower. And I was like, yeah, I get it, girl. Like, I feel you. It's just like next level attraction. And, you know, I started noticing it but also in shows like The Witcher, you know, Geralt, very similar sort of drawn to him. And this is so random, but, you know, I also started noticing it in the K-pop world with K-pop characters and the way that they're portrayed. And I found myself really, really drawn to them. Or at least some of them. And for those of you who might not know what K-pop is just Korean pop. It can be hip-hop, dance pop, ballad. It's kind of famous for really highly produced music videos. Like, seriously, some of their music videos are better than movies. Like, it's insane. They use some of the best cinematographers in that part of the world and in, like, East Asia, it's incredible. And, you know, they're getting really popular. These bands are getting really popular in the States with like BTS, Blackpink, you know, kind of achieving global success. You know, Blackpink headlined Coachella this year, which is amazing. I started noticing, you know, in their videos, like these characters that they're portrayed, like a lot of the male groups, there's just this deep, I noticed myself being deeply drawn to them. I mean, yes, they're beautiful. Yes, they're talented. They're, you know, their music videos are interesting and they pull you in, but there was something else about it. And it kind of aligned with what I was finding myself drawn to in these fantasy romance books. And I wanted to know if there was something behind it. So I, you know, of course, being the kind of person who has to research everything because, like, I can have no chill interests, I started doing some research and it was pretty interesting what I found. And it comes down to duality, essentially. It comes down to duality, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more in just a second. But if you notice, when you're reading these books, they all have this very strong duality, right? So Resand, for example, I'm sorry if you haven't read the books, you can skip ahead a little bit. There's going to be some spoilers. But Resand, you know, dark night lord, terrifying, will kill, maim, murder, destroy anyone, any place that is threatening the things and the people that he cares about. Same with Asriel, you know, king of torture over here. Shadow Daddy just can be absolutely ruthless, right? At the same time, they are the sweetest people in all of Prithian, right? Just compassion for days, empathetic, kind, loving, respectful, like kind of diehard feminists. You know, Resand over here just misting people in fields, just, you know, squishing everybody's bodies into like blood spray. And then, like, you know, trots home with his partner who he cares about more than anything and his best friends to have snowball fights and to massage each other in their spa. And, you know, he has a library full of sexual abuse survivors that he respects and rescues and takes care of and supports them in their healing journey. And like, just that there's this incredible duality in his character. You see the same thing with Asriel, with Cassian, with Castile, with Geralt, Geralt? Fuck, I always forget. You also see it, right, in K-pop. They are marketing masters. You will see very often the way that K-pop stars are portrayed, because they have, I mean, honest to God, they have nailed marketing better than like no other people on the planet. Like, they are so good at this industry. But they present idols in this exact same light. It's almost like they were written by women creating fantasy characters. So they're, you know, on stage, you see these very sexy, fierce characters. They're flashing abs, they're glaring, they're intense. And then they'll portray them off stage and show this side of them that is shy and sweet and kind and caring and, you know, giggly and bashful often, or being silly and doing silly things with their friends. And I swear to you, it's like a fantasy romance author was like, okay, you've got this band of guys, like, let me write their characters for you, and then you can portray that, and I guarantee people will faint at their concerts, because, like, that's just how good women are at writing fantasy characters, right? Like, back to this idea of duality, right? I started doing some research. I found out that there are a lot of theories about this rooted in evolutionary biology. Now, I want to preface all of this and say that I don't know how this would apply to all of the genders across the spectrum. So for the sake of not fucking it all up, I'm just going to do my best and share what I read. And yes, it's very cis-hetero, as research unfortunately often is. Research is important and necessary, and science is important and necessary, but, like, yeah, it's flawed in parts, you know? It reminds me of, this is totally off topic, but I think it's relevant, you know, to talking about research. I read an article like 10 years ago, and I can't cite it because I don't, you know, it was 10 years ago. I don't remember. But, you know, they discovered this, archaeologists discovered this big site in Mesopotamia, or what used to be Mesopotamia. And the original archaeologists were like, aha, look at all of these brave warrior men, because they have been buried with, you know, gold and or whatever money they had at the time in that space. and weapons and blah, blah, blah. Well, like, turns out later on, a different group went back and did some, you know, DNA testing. Not men at all. They were women. And, you know, the assumption was made that they were men because they had status and they were obviously warriors. So they just jumped straight to the conclusion, like, must be a dude, because of this very, like, sort of ridiculous notion that we have in current society about, you know, gender and gender stereotypes. And but now, you know, after they did the genetic testing, they're like, oh, these might actually be the Amazonian women that the Romans wrote about, because apparently the Romans, you know, were very good at documenting things going on during their, you know, empire warring days. And they wrote a lot about these terrifying women that none of them wanted to fight. And they called them the Amazon women. And it was a all-female society who were absolutely brutal. And, you know, now they're like, oh, look, maybe that. So all of this to say that, yes, like, research is flawed. We're going to go into that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's still fascinating. So let's get started. According to an article in Good Housekeeping written by Dina Cheney titled Why Women Find Bad Boys So Attractive Even Though We Know They're Trouble, it seems that women like a bad boy for sex, because, I don't know, we just do. But what we're really after, ladies and gents, is duality. In the article, Cheney wrote that evolutionary biologists would call bad boys hypermasculine. This is what Michael R. Cunningham, he's a PhD professor and psychologist at the University of Louisville. These type of men ooze testosterone, which leads to boldness and is associated with exaggerated sexuality, he says. So apparently, you know, we're very into hypermasculinity when it comes to sex. I mean, yeah, I suppose I could fuck around with that. The article goes on to explain that what might be so compelling about this type of person is research shows that women are more attracted to masculine men during the middle of their menstrual cycle when they're the most fertile. Men with very masculine traits may have better quality genes. So basically, we want their sperm. Ugh, not their partnership. Wah, wah, wah. And anyone out there who has a period and who ovulates, y'all know that your cycle fucks around with your emotions, right? Like, I have certainly in my lifetime slept with somebody and been like, Jesus Christ, why did I do that 2 weeks later? But at the time I was like, this is the hottest person on earth. You know, it may very well explain why we're all into fuckboys once in a while, even though they're disgusting and the worst. So back to the article, it goes on to explain that if you ask a woman what they want in an ideal partner, though, like, logically, if you're like, hey, you person who is not ovulating right now, what would your ideal guy be? And they would cite nice guy traits like honesty, trustworthiness, and respectfulness. Like, obviously, you know, the things that we want in a human being having our back. Like, we want to be able to trust them. We want them to support us. We want to be able to depend on them, you know, as, you know, a support system, right? And we are able to recognize logically that we want a good person long-term and that bad boys do not make good long-term partners, which brings us to the concept of duality. An article in Psychology Today a few years ago explained the different kinds of men that women are attracted to. It goes into all kinds of types, right? There's the loser, the nice guy, the hero. we're not going to get into all of that. It's a whole lot. Like, what we're going to focus on is the hero, because this is what matters in the grand scheme of this episode, talking about duality and fantasy romance characters. So the hero is like the creme de la creme of cis-hetero men, right? It's a character type that rolls everything that we fucking love and can't get enough of into one powerhouse human being. So hypermasculinity and good guy traits. So it's basically Rhysand, like someone who is both simultaneously kind, supportive, respectful, and like who is also sexy, confident, and a fucking alpha male to the death, right? Sounds familiar? Yes, because this is Rhysand, Azriel, Cassian, Castile, Cardin. It is Geralt. It is every fantasy man, right? And I think it's really important to point out that being attracted to duality is not the same as a fixer-upper or, in the book world, a redemption arc, right? In real life, this does not play out how we hope it might. You can't find a bad boy and like rehabilitate him. You cannot turn like a 1995 Geo Metro into a Ferrari. So we're not going to do that. You know, but you see these characters in like Damon from The Vampire Diaries or Spike from Buffy, where they're narcissistic shitbags, and through love, they are essentially, you know, rehabilitated into a somewhat toxic, but overall good guy. That's not what we're doing. In 2023, ladies, we are not rehab centers, okay? We're not doing that. A hero is not this. A hero is somebody who already possesses both sides. So a Rhysand, an Azriel, a Cassian, okay, not a Daemon. Although Lord knows we all love a good Daemon, right? Anyone else out there obsessed with Ian Somerhalder in Vampire Diaries? Yes, because he was hot and amazing. I get it. But the redemption arc is a whole other discussion. Right? There are other theories about why we are also attracted to this kind of person. And, you know, it covers a lot of ground that we don't necessarily have time for today. And we will cover it in another episode. But, you know, like, we love the idea that we can like fix somebody, or that we can be messy and still loved, all of those things. That is not the hero, though. That's not what we're talking about today. Okay. So I thought this was really interesting. And now when you go back into your reading, whatever you're reading, if you're reading a fantasy romance novel and you start finding yourself crazy attracted to somebody, you're like, oh, dude, this guy right here is perfect. Why do I want to leave my partner for him? You can ask yourself, is it because of the duality factor? Like, is this a hero? And you know what? Chances are, all of my cishet ladies out there, chances are, yep, it's going to be a hero. And Lord knows we can't get enough of them. And if we find ourselves attracted to fuckboys, right? An absolute shithead, we can stop and say, ah, fuck, we're probably ovulating, apparently. This is a terrible time to choose a partner. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait it out a week or two, come back, revisit this. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode of You're Going to Be Great. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned something new. And, you know, if you've got a minute, share along. And I look forward to chatting with y'all again next week. And remember, you're going to be great.
Thanks for listening to You're Gonna Be Great. You can always find episode notes and the transcript on the website, You're Gonna Be Great. Follow us on Instagram at You're Gonna Be Great to see what's next. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share it with your friends or take a moment to leave a review. Thanks so much. See you next week. And remember, you're gonna be great.